Previously on the Adventure Zone.
And you are being whipped around the room. You're caught in just this whirlwind storm emanating from the center of the room. And right there at the center, you see a bright red sphere. Duck, you see the top side of town. It is 9:35 p.m. And this makeshift canvas installation just explodes. And then it's gone. Minerva nods and she holds her blade aloft. And then a small rift opens in front of you. And then others all around town open.
Let me see if everybody's on board with this. Seems like first up, we got to get the Hornets. And then we got to get them distracting the FBI so we maybe can get Agent Stearns back on our side. So he can help us get Mama back on our side. We need about a million things to go exactly right before we even get a chance to go to the Nether Realm and die.
Yes, and it's a fine plan, folks. You see in the doorway Indrid Cold, who says, "It could probably use a bit more work." Jump right in.
I'm in already. I actually got in before you did, just to make sure the water was okay.
Oh, how is it? How's the scene doing?
Scene is good. I'm already in it.
Yeah.
But there, because the narrator has not joined us, we are locked in stasis. We are characters in search of an author, as in the Pirandello play.
So they've been there for 2 weeks, or what's up?
Been there for 2 weeks, locked in perfect stasis until time itself shall turn its gaze upon us and let us resume our merry roles in this play called Existence.
By the way, when you hear thunder and rain and stuff, those are all
That's
sound
the angels
effects.
Bowling.
We've added angels bowling to add to the oncoming storm. It's kind of a device.
There's tears in the floor. There's holes in the floor of heaven. Let's unfreeze everybody. Indrid Cold has just walked into the Cryptonomica. And he just kind of strides right in past the circle of citizens life. Of Kepler. What's that?
The circle of life.
Yep. He strolls right through it where a zebra's eating a dog or whatever. And walks up to you, Aubrey, and Duck. And he says, "Aubrey, Duck, it's good to see you. I'm so sorry about Ned. If I had seen that coming, please trust that I would have contacted you earlier."
Oh, yeah, Andrew, none of us really saw it coming either. How are you, man? What did a lot?
I'm doing well, not great. I'm doing fine now, but if we don't do anything else, I'm going to be pretty dead tonight, as will everybody. Hey. And he leans in really close. Is everybody here cool?
You mean like, are they a narc?
I mean, are they cool?
Oh, I don't know how long you've been out the game, but like everybody knows now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of the cat is out of the proverbial bag.
The very large cat. It's out of the very small bag.
The interdimensional cat is out of its bag.
Has Heathcliff made his way over to Earth? That would be quite a surprise.
Might as well have.
Okay. Yeah, basically.
This might expedite things. And he turns to the crowd and he says, "Hey, everyone, I'm the Mothman." And he pops his glasses off just for a second and turns into the big, hideous, horrifying Mothman and then pops his glasses back on. He says, "I can see the future."
Everyone just nods solemnly. Yes.
This probably isn't the weirdest thing that you've seen in the last couple of months. I just wanted to... We have a tendency to just kind of tell people in a trickle one at a time, and we don't have that kind of time. So, Mothman, Mystic, see the future. Everybody cool with that?
It's weird, right?
Yeah, nice to meet you. I'm Thacker. just that's it.
Thacker, this what a wonderful introduction. Rich character you seem to be.
I'm brand new, so you know, give me time to flourish and develop.
But the Mothman turns to everyone. I think he's like standing in the center of the circle, just spinning, talking to everybody. And he says, "Okay, I trust that your own homegrown prophets here have given you the general rundown. This evening, the Quell's going to burst through the gateway between your worlds and lay siege to Earth, and Kepler's going to be destroyed, and the rest of the planet will follow in the coming weeks. And if I follow the basics of your plan, you're going to distract the FBI with some motorbike stunts."
Stunts, yeah.
Good so
far. You know, when you say it like that, though,
you make it sound silly. It was dismissive the way you said it.
No, it has a decent chance of making it through. Then you will sneak into the FBI compound. You will breach the archway. You will confront the Quell and cease the destruction of both of your worlds. Is that more or less what we're dealing with?
Yeah. I don't like when I hear people simplify a plan. It always thinks it sounds silly.
Yeah, it took us a whole, an hour to come up with it. And did you get the part where we're going to find the Quell and just crush its heart or whatever, destroy its egg or wherever it lives?
It's quail, champ. Not
yeah, that's what
quail.
I said, quail.
You said quail like a big old bird, but it ain't.
Wait, what are
quail.
You saying?
No, quail.
Quail?
Quail.
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 Quail. Here, listen.
Quail.
Quail. See,
quail.
See that it, you said quail.
Yeah, man, quail.
You said quail. It's quail.
The Mothman grabs your wrist, Duck, and looks at the watch on it. He says, "Boy, howdy, I sure hope that those aren't several minutes that we will need to prevent the apocalypse, because they are gone now. I came here to tell you there's a problem with your plan, and the problem is that it will fail, and everyone will die." No, it's not that, Aubrey. The Quell is a tangible thing, and right now it's using everything under its power to try and knock down the door leading to your world. Think of it like pressure squeezing against the hull of a submarine. Mm-hmm. If you open the hatch, the main hatch. I don't know that much about submarines, actually, so this is
so why did you invoke submarine?
Yeah, there's not that many other great... An airplane? You open the main hatch of the airplane. I'm going to stick with submarines. Not only will the water come rushing in, the difference in pressure could cause a cataclysmic decompression. If you do that, if you open the door to the Quell, it will instantly lead to Kepler's destruction. Unless you can find some way to reduce the pressure that the Quell is putting on the gateway between your worlds, I'm afraid that all the futures that I see are not going to be rewritten.
So what's the play?
Oh, that's all I have.
Well?
Oh, I see several dozen futures, and all of them lead to the destruction of the world when you just pop open the door between yours. I was hoping that, and I don't know where your future site comes from, but Duck and Company... And the chosen few, did your...
And Thacker. And Thacker's the name. Thacker.
Well, I meant the ones who have psychic visions. Do you have psychic visions, Thacker?
I have some psychic powers, yeah. Yeah, thanks for asking ahead of time. Yeah, I thought you knew all this. Aren't you like a fortune teller?
I was being glib, but I guess, fuck me, I guess. Well, have your psychic visions revealed anything more optimistic, Thacker?
Yeah, Smarty Pants. I see a future where we succeed and everybody is happy and the Sylvain people is safe and happy and the Quell is, you know, behaving and this forest ranger here gets a nice promotion and
what, okay,
this
well,
nice
what sort
magician
of
person.
This is all great. What happens between now and then? I mean,
show your work, Thacker.
Well, I ain't Nostradamus. I ain't got it all ripped down or nothing. Okay. It's just I just have a general feeling everything's going to be all right. Sue me.
Thacker, I know we don't know each other that well, but what you're talking about is optimism, and frankly, we don't have much room for it currently. What could lower the pressure, I guess? I don't know. Our metaphors are a little bit labored at this point.
So we need to, just to recap, there's pressure pushing on that side of the door, right? if we open the door, dead. So we need to do something to distract or to take the pressure off, but we can't get over there to do it without opening the door.
All right. I had a vision. And I know I don't put a lot of stock in them either, honestly. They've been pretty much bummers at this point. But it was, Minerva, you opened a bunch of different doors all at once. Maybe that could make a vent.
She looks surprised. She looks surprised when you say that.
Why do you look surprised when I say that?
She says, because I did not have that vision, Duck Newton. I assumed that the source of our visions were that Leo, Dr. Drake, did you see this vision? And
every time you say Dr. Drake, I get so confused.
Why?
Because I think you're saying Dr. Dre. I get so excited.
I'm also pretty sure Dr. Drake Ramore is Joey's character from Friends on the soap opera he's on.
Okay. There's also Professor Ludwig von Drake, which is a different... No, this is Dr. Sarah Drake. Both of them shake their heads.
It is interesting to think about. We have characters named Pigeon, Duck, and Drake.
Yeah, sure. They both shake their heads. No. And Minerva turns and says, Duck, it seems like you have had... I watched a VHS of a movie called Minority Report, and it was delightful, and there was a science fiction adventure that took place, and it also had sci-fi future psychics in it, and it was different from how I do it, but it seems like you did one of those, and now I guess you're going to have to stop being framed for your own wife's murder or something?
No.
Well, no, that's the thing about the precogs, is that they would sometimes have different visions about how the future would play out. That's what the Minority Report was.
We're missing the most important thing. Minerva, what did you think of all the eye stuff in Minority Report? Because it really bothered
me. Yuck.
Yeah, right?
I've disemboweled plenty of opponents in my time, but even that, you hate to see that happen.
Hey, was Peter Stormare a bit much or what?
A little bit.
What do you think, honestly?
I suppose I could... open several rifts to Sylvain, but not without some sort of knowledge of where it is, without some sort of connection to the world. The only way I see that happening is if I am able to open them simultaneously alongside of the archway. If we can find some way to get to the archway and open it up and synchronize perfectly the opening of that gate and all of my rifts, then possibly I could do it. We're still going to get a lot of Quell coming out if I understand the physics of this entity correctly.
Yeah, but at that point, we then can have, instead of one point, several points and like a whole bunch of people fighting, right? Instead of one thing, right? Isn't that better?
As you say that, Indrid's like head leans backwards and you see him just kind of like freeze in place. And then he...
So you have to sneeze?
He sighs, and he looks around, and he says, interesting. You're trading one trouble for another, if I'm being honest. You are going to invite the Quell in large quantities over into our, well, I guess your world, technically, and you're going to have to find some way to stop it from running wild, but if you do that, then the away mission... may have a chance of success.
What about a moat? No? Okay, that's fine. Yep, cool. Even as I said it, I knew that wasn't it. That's fine. Keep going.
Minerva says, I will have to put them somewhere, though. I will have to open these doors somewhere, and they will have to be defendable positions, and we will need people at them to defend. They have to also be within my line of sight if I'm going to open them. I can open as many as we need, but I will need to be able to see them all in order to do so. So I will need a vantage point. I do not know this town as well as other people in this room. I don't know why I said that like that, but finding those places and finding those defenders seems like a task for the locals, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, it's making me wonder if maybe, ooh, would it be a mistake to pit the Quell against the FBI?
Yeah. I mean, that seems bad to hear it. When you said it, did it feel bad?
It felt bad to say it,
All right, so what's the plan here, y'all? We're getting really bogged down in mumbo jumbo.
It seems like if we need a high vantage point, even without its top, that's Mount Kepler, right?
It's kind of a mesa now, though, right? I mean, it ain't really much of a mountain anymore.
Sure.
Kirby says, I mean, the problem with that is there's no way up the top side. Funicular's the only way up, or, I mean, I guess you could take a pretty long walk through the Monongahela and get there, and, you know, the tramway's locked down by some FBI types, so there's no going up there. I mean, you could see the whole town from topside. That ain't a problem. It's just a question of getting up there is not a guarantee.
Hey, can any of you superheroes fly? I mean, like in them Marvel movies? By the way, did anything ever come of those? Did those turn out, Thacker.
All right. Hey, let's postpone this apocalypse. We got some movies to watch.
Yeah, I'm just asking. So none of y'all fly?
No.
I mean, you got all these powers and magics and stuff.
No, Mothman raises his hand. Well, technically, yeah.
Oh, great. Perfect. Hell yeah, Mothman. You can just carry us up there in a big basket.
We can...
See, that's the kind of thinking outside the box that I like out of you, Duckman.
That would definitely speed this conversation up.
I mean, I've been doing a bit of hot yoga, so I imagine my endurance has increased somewhat. If you'd like, I could also just, like, grab the guard watching the funicular train and fly him way high up and drop him.
Yeah, let's do that.
Well, hold on now, shit.
I'm just saying there's lots of ways to skin a cat.
There's no reason to send this innocent man off to Beef City just because we want to ride the sky train. That
we can probably just
nice.
Knock him out.
We'll just knock him out.
I bet with Indrid's ability to see the future, he could judge exactly how high to drop the guard from to just knock him out and not squeeze him.
Or look in the future and see when he has to take a pee.
Also that.
And then when he goes to take a pee, you sneak in, jump on the funicular, and up the hill you go.
Hey, just real quick, because I've been gone for a hunt or two now. Are all of your plan-making sessions this sort of... slapstick, or do you only get this this zany when it's time for the apocalypse?
You can always tell how big the challenge is by how zany we are. It's a direct correlation, one for one. So here's the plan: we're going to hijack the funicular. At which point, we're going to head up to topside. We need to get Minerva to a good vantage point where she can see. She's going to open the portals to vent after we've distracted the FBI agents and we've gotten close to the gate. She will open them as we cross through the gate, and everybody left on this side is going to fight the Quell and distract it while we try to find the heart of the Quell. And I'm still holding that hope, maybe finding Sylvain too, balancing that whole mother effer out and making that okay. Does that sound about right to everybody?
I mean, it sounds like the stuff we've been talking about. I don't know if I'd use the word right. It sounds like we are opening up several doors to hell and inviting the demons and what have you over into Kepler. But I mean, we got swords and stuff. The three of us are covered swords-wise. Actually, Dr. Drake, remind me. Gotta get you a sword. But I think we may be a little bit shorthanded. We're gonna need some help. Ideally, we could get the whole town, although we'd have to do so without the FBI finding out. And we got what, half a day to get everybody organized and set up in these discreet battlefields around town. Like if we're gonna do this, we need to get moving.
Well, sounds like we need a montage. Dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun. Punching meat, running up the steps.
Indrid's washing the Crepes by Monica van in a tank top.
I think we need to try for the Hornets first.
I agree. They're pretty.
Right. Difficult. I mean.
Okay. That's where you all are going first. Are you all traveling as one unit?
I think that will be more narratively interesting.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
I agree. I think it's like it's easier. Does it, I mean, is the FBI not going to get distracted when we open up crazy little holes to the nether realm?
If the vents open up at the exact same time as the archway, then you would need the distraction before the vents.
Yeah, it has to happen at the same time.
Right.
So we do still need the motorcycle super stunt show.
Right. You could also use them to help fight, but, you know, they
after
do.
Are they not in on this meeting?
No.
Hollis and Keith?
No, I mean, you guys haven't had that moment of reconciliation with them yet.
So we agreed that the next important part is we go talk to the Hornets, and then we go talk to Winthrop and Muffy. The next most important part, right? We can all agree.
Winthrop and Muffy is number two.
Yes.
Is it best if I talk to Hollis and Keith, or...
I mean, I've...
I got a flyer I could take. I got kind of an angle to take, maybe.
What are you thinking, Deb?
Maybe Thacker knew them when they were younger. Maybe when they were kids. Maybe they came out and did some of the Kepler expeditions.
I think that's for sure true. I think that would be true.
I think it's probably our bet. Considering our current relationships with all the Hornets, like, that's probably our best play.
Okay, so you all are going to... the destroyed rubble that used to be the Hornet's Nest?
They're probably somewhere else, right? It's been 2 months. They're
Why are they sitting
just,
in rubble?
They're well, probably actually, not just like, there used to be a jukebox here.
Actually, you do find them at the remains of the Hornet's Nest, the sort of road off the main drag that led to this bar has been sort of crudely rebuilt after just being obliterated by the falling mountaintop. The ground has been, you know, manually leveled out, and there's just a bunch of gravel leading to this, you know, makeshift construction site where the Hornets are now sort of working to rebuild their headquarters. And you can tell as you show up here that their ranks have thinned since the collapse. You see Keith and Hollis, and they're hard at work alongside 10 or so other Hornets, and there's a group of Hornets, and they're all sitting in the shade of a nearby tree, eating like an early lunch, and
what are they eating?
Sandwiches. And they, this group probably is the one that notices your approach, and they set their food down, and they start walking in your direction.
Hi, everybody! It's really coming along.
Keith and Hollis turn to face you, and Hollis is like instantly kind of upset that you are there. Aubrey, Keith just looks like so fucking tired. And he just turns back to his work. And Hollis walks over and joins the group of Hornets that have sort of come to confront you all. And Hollis says, "The fuck do you want?"
Hey, Hollis, could we maybe talk to you, you know, in private, just one-on-one? It's kind of a big conversation, you know?
Hollis grabs a rag and wipes some sweat off their brow and sets it down and looks at the three of you and looks at you, Thacker, and says, Thacker, where the fuck have you been?
Hey, Hollis, how you doing, sport?
Oh, not crazy about that, but as you can see, and they gesture backwards to the ruins, and Hollis says, yeah, not great. Not great. Yeah, thanks to these two, Kepler finds itself in a state of disrepair, you might say. Not sure how much you missed.
Yeah. I don't remember you being such a pain in the ass, Hollis. I mean, you know, 6-7 years ago, you seemed a little bit more open-minded than you are now. Listen, these folks, I haven't been here, but, you know, from everything they told me, these folks have been doing the best they can. They've got a pretty big situation to deal with, and... you know, instead of being a jerk about it, why don't you flash back to that person that I knew years ago when you were excited about life, you were excited about working, and when there was a bad situation, you always told me, you always said, Mr. Thacker, when something bad happens to Kepler, I want to make sure I'm there to make it better. So here's your chance. These folks have been doing the best they can, and so instead of fighting them every step of the way, why don't you help them out a little bit?
Did they tell you what I tried to do?
I've heard bits and pieces. I'm in and out. What does it matter what you tried to do? What does it matter
because
what
Thacker,
you've done before?
Because, I fucking tried to do exactly what you just said. The problem is that they decided that they were the only ones who were allowed to help Kepler out. They were the only ones who were allowed to save Kepler in their hour of need. And
hey, straight up, Hollis, we might have been fucking wrong. I mean, I don't know. We might not have been right about it. Here's what I'm saying now, right? Shit's about to break real bad. I can see the future a little bit.
You can
My
what?
Friend the Moth. I can see the future a little bit. Not great. I have dreams that come to pass or don't. So, but my friend the Mothman is like wild.
Your friend
with the
Mothman.
My friend the Mothman. Hey, listen, Hollis. You want to play in the Twilight Zone? Here we go. Come on. My friend the Mothman can see the future, and it's gonna break real, real fucking bad. Here's what I'm gonna say. Maybe we're right. Maybe we're wrong about cutting y'all out. I have absolutely no clue, but I do know that if y'all don't help us, come beat some ass. Against the force of evil, we are all just tremendously screwed.
I think we've reached the inflection point of manipulate someone, and I feel like Duck is the one who first laid out this plan. And I think Aubrey, if you want, roll help out. And Thacker, you too. I think all of you have helped out. So let's get those rolls first, actually. Let's get Aubrey and Thacker rolling help out, which is plus cool.
No.
I have rolled a 7 plus 0, a 7.
Okay. That is going to help.
Thacker has rolled a 7 minus 1, which is a 6.
Okay.
Thacker ain't cool.
Yeah, that's Hollis just says, Thacker, you were a pretty cool sort of camp counselor. I don't know how to describe your job, but like, if you think that's going to make me forget about monsters coming in and slaying my friends, then I don't owe you quite that much.
Okay, that's fine. I did teach you how to make lanyards, but that's fine.
the lanyard you're wearing right now.
That lanyard around your neck.
Duck, roll, manipulate someone, plus 1, plus cool.
Come on, Duck.
Oh.
Plus
What's
cool.
Your cool, Duck?
2, 7.
Plus 1 Nick's is an 8.
Plus 1.
Yeah, plus 1 is an 8, but I mean 7 and 8 still both mixed success, right?
Yes. A mixed success, they will do it, but only if you show them something right now to show that you mean it. You start explaining to Hollis what is going on, as per what Aubrey suggested. And Keith walks over and, you know, similarly, like, grabs a bottle of Gatorade and starts to cool off from this job. And pretty soon, just like all the Hornets are listening in as you describe what's going on and describe the plan. And once you get close to the end, Hollis, you can tell, is still just like has their guard up. And Hollis says, we're not like antagonists in a Disney Channel original movie. Like, the idea of us stunting over some lawmen to try and buy you all time to fight the big bad. I want to save Kepler. I don't want to risk my neck and the necks of my whole crew for Sylvain and the people from there, because as far as I know, they came to our home and started killing us without reservation. The magic and monster stuff that y'all are into, we don't want anything to do with that. And then you all hear the gravel behind you crunching and turn back to see Jake Cool Ice, who just walks into the center of the circle where you all are describing all of this stuff to the Hornets. And Keith and Hollis both look at Jake, and he says, all right. And he pulls his wrist cuff off, and his face just becomes this bulbous mound of white fur with these big, beady black eyes and a protruding snout with a wet black nose flanked by long whiskers hanging over a wide, thin mouth. His hands just become these flippers that are barely poking out of his shirt sleeves. Jake Cool-Ice has transformed into his true form, a bipedal, enormous harp seal.
Ah.
And he says, it's not us, Hollis. Whatever's doing this. It's not us.
Yep. What Jake said.
Yeah, I mean, there you go.
Did y'all know he could do that? Did you know he could do
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Not that. Yeah. Exactly oh. that, but something. Yeah, I assumed.
You knew he could turn into something like a seal.
Yes. Listen, Hollis, I mean, you know, Jake, you know, a lot of folks around here. I'm betting you'd be surprised how many of them could pull that same trick. It's the fact of the matter is we need you. And there are people here that live in Kepler, that are Kepler citizens, that need you. Maybe they're not from Kepler, but they live in Kepler now. They are Kepler citizens, and they need your help. And I think when it comes down to it, no matter what our differences are and how you might feel about, you know, the monsters who have hurt people, I think when it comes down to it, you want to help people who are good.
Hollis sighs and is just kind of frozen and says, look, I don't. And as they're saying that, Keith walks over to a nearby bench and picks up his helmet and walks back over to the group. And he says, I'm in. And Hollis kind of freezes as they look at Keith and look back at the whole group and sees other people walking over to grab their helmets. And Hollis smiles and looks down at the ground and just kind of shakes their head and then looks back up and says, well, I guess that's a consensus. Where do you need us? Everybody, this is Griffin McElroy, your Dungeon Master, your best friend, and your big-time, big-party boy. All about it, all about dancing and having a good time. Thanks for listening to episode 31 of Taz Amnesty, as we are sort of building up to the climax. God, there was no way out of that sentence, but this is the final arc, and we've actually recorded, we've got a little bit of stockpile prepared because we're about to go on our book tour, and I'm very excited about where this arc is going. So I hope you are excited to hear that, and I also hope you're excited to hear about our sponsors. I'm a big boy. I need tempo. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the advertisements here on the Adventure Zone. I'd like to tell you about tempo.
And with us as a special guest, J.K. Simmons.
Not my tempo.
Well, no,
it's not my tempo.
Have him say, like, that is my tempo.
Oh, that is my tempo.
Okay, now JK, you
say,
can
now
leave.
Make him say. Now make him say wait, Griffin's. Make him say Griffin's the best.
And Griffin's also the best. Him, give me pictures of Spider-Man.
You didn't tell him to say that. That was you.
He's
doing
on the
voice.
Headphones.
Okay,
he's got his own cans. He brought them from home.
Okay,
he's a professional.
Why do you guys like this?
What do you
can
mean?
You just do a normal advertisement? Can you do like a normal? Just do a normal ad.
Okay, so yeah, I'm a busy guy, and so is Travis. He knows J.K. Simmons. So when you're busy and you're on the go and you want to eat good food, but you only have like 2 minutes to heat it up, you can still have really yummy stuff thanks to Tempo. This is my Tempo. I'm talking about Tuscan bacon mushroom chicken.
Ooh.
I'm talking about five spice glazed chicken thighs.
Yeah, yes.
They got seafood options. They got chili shrimp rice bowl. They got so many stuff. They got protein pack stuff. They're always swapping around the menu, so you can always like try out new stuff, and it all tastes really good. And you can get it ready like really, really fast.
And even J.K. Simmons likes it. He's the pickiest eater I know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. He has really specific tastes, and there is a special J.K. Simmons only menu on Tempo.
Yeah,
I eat pictures of Spider-Man.
If you go to tempomeals.com, you'll see an option that'll be like the special J.K. Simmons menu. When you click on it, it says, "Are you J.K. Simmons?" It's like a captcha. And like, "Are you J.K. Simmons?" And it tests you. And if it's not, then it'll be like, "Get the fuck out of here." Get the fuck out of here. This is for JK only, it says.
Wow. So for a limited time, Tempo is offering my listeners 60% off your first box. Go to TempoMeals.com/adventure. That's TempoMeals.com/adventure for 60% off your first box. TempoMeals.com/adventure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Guys, I got a mattress from Lisa, the luxury hybrid, and it is changing my life. First, I'm just going to tell you, first of all, it lays flat like this. Yeah. A lot of beds that I have had in the past are at a 45-degree angle or worse, Dracula style, 180.
Yeah.
So the Lisa mattress is flat, which we love. The next
that
thing,
is 180. I do just want to say that the flat is 180.
It's way longer than my body.
Okay.
A lot of beds, my head and feet dangle off of them like a child, like Will Ferrell in the film Elf.
Yeah.
The Elf beds. This is not like that. This bed is bigger than my body, which is incredible.
Is it thin like a tissue?
No. No. It's comfortable like a million tissues.
Whoa.
Sorry, it says here, don't compare it to a million tissues. No. It's got aerated... It's got aerated foam channels and an ultra breathable dual spring system. It's like sitting in between the balance of foam and spring. It's like living in the middle, in the mid space. It's the perfect balance. The in the shadow lands. And it can keep you cool. They got a chill hybrid too. If you want to go a little bit cooler,
like
advanced
me,
advanced cooling, luxury quilt top. If you want, exactly.
I'm a chill hybrid.
Yeah,
you're a chill hybrid.
Yeah, half Travis, half electric.
Go to Lisa.com for 20% off mattresses, plus get an extra $50 off with promo code ADVENTURE, exclusive for our listeners. That's Leesa.com, promo code ADVENTURE for 20% off mattress, plus an extra $50 off. Support our show and let them know we sent you after checkout. Lisa.com, promo code ADVENTURE.
And check this out.
That's pretty good, Griffin.
Thanks.
Hey, a couple of quick announcements, too, before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now. It's a choose your own adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show.
Hey, thank you to everybody who has been tweeting about the show using the Zonecast hashtag. Y'all have been real kind to us. Well, you've been kind to us for, as long as we've been doing the show, but especially as we move into the finale of Amnesty, y'all have been so, so, so supportive. And it means the world. This is very stressful for all of us as we try to wrap this up in a satisfying way. And your support has been just lovely. Next episode is going to go up in 2 weeks, in 2 Thursdays. So that is going to be on July 25th. So we'll see you then. Bye. So, you got limited time. What all do you all want to get done next? Like what resources are you going to try and shore up before it's business time?
Aubrey would like to go talk to Sheriff Zeke and Ghost Dewey.
Okay. Yes. That is sort of the Sheriff's Department faction. And that I think makes sense. Are y'all going with him?
You know what? I think that there's going to be a lot of shit going down in the woods and, in the park, more or less. Why doesn't Thacker go talk to the people with the Forest Service? Because I assume Duck's going to be busy dealing with something else.
Duck, how do you feel about that?
That's fine. You go talk to Juno. Yeah, I know who I need to talk to.
Wait a minute. Juno Devine?
Yeah, she's...
Juno Devine she's in the Forest Service.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Well, no, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. She loved divorce. I love it.
Did you just do
happened?
A player to character crossfade?
That was so fucking wild. I've never seen anything like that on this podcast before.
That melted my brain.
It was like Clint started the sentence and then Thacker ended the sentence. Okay, so Duck, you want to talk to somebody else?
Yeah, I want to talk to Muffy and Winthrop.
Of course.
The sure.
Most important. Yeah.
Yeah. Hardened soldiers. Okay. Thacker, you make your way toward the Forest Service Station in the Monongahela. And I think it's pretty tricky getting there. First of all, I know that you know these woods. It was sort of your job to know these woods, but it's been 6 years since you've had to do it. So I don't know how much sense memory is guiding you through. But also, like, you kind of got to take a weird route if you don't want to hit the checkpoint on the west side of town going off the highway. And since Topside is like out of service as well, like there's just, you're not going through a well-worn trail. You're kind of having to blaze your own. But after, quite a bit of hiking, you find the Ranger Service Station building, and through the windows, you see it is unoccupied save for Juno Devine, who you see looking at something intently on a table in the center of the building.
Thacker taps on the window.
You scare the shit out of her.
Yeah, that happens.
She looked,
and he kind of gives a little wave and kind of a sheepish little grin.
She takes a second. You get no recognition from her for just a flash, and then her eyes open wide and she mouths an expletive, and she rushes to the front door and throws it open and runs up to you and stops for a second and then jumps in and gives you a big bear hug. And she pulls herself away. She says, "Where the hell have you been, Thacker?"
"Well, I was on a little adventure. That's kind of what I'm here to talk to you about."
I mean, where'd you go? Like the Adirondacks? Like, wait, 6 years, Thacker? You could have written me a letter or something?
No. The Postal Service kind of sucks where I was. I crossed over into Sylvain. I had me a little mission to do, and it kind of went down the old toilet, and took me about 6 years to get back. And when I got back, as you know, things have just, the pooch has been thoroughly screwed.
Gross.
While I was gone. And so, yeah, I was incommunicado, and now look at you. You're in the Forest Service. How neat is that?
This like warm reception she's giving you, as soon as you mention that you crossed over into Sylvain, it just vanishes instantly. And you are speaking to her sort of excitedly like this to, you know, a fairly grim expression now. And she says, "Yeah, it's been a big 6 years. Why don't you come inside, Thacker?" And she saunters back into the station and shuts the door behind you. And you see a map of the Monongahela National Forest with sort of Kepler down in the corner of it. And you can see that she has this big sort of oblong shape that it takes you a second to like figure out what it is, and then you realize it's the perimeter that the FBI has drawn around the archway. It's the section of Topside and of the forest that they have kind of closed off. And she walks over to a little cabinet next to a stove, a small stove that's in here, and she says, "You want some coffee, tea? What's your jam now? Did it change when you crossed over into the alien planet, or what's up?"
"Nah, I would love some tea. Do you have any of them Milanos? I love them Milanos. I haven't had one any for a long time. And you know the one, they come in the package and they're real fancy and they got their own little white paper cups that they sit in."
She walks over to a stool in the corner and grabs it and then stands on it. And then on top of the cabinet, she has hidden a secret stockpile of Milano cookies, which she walks over and pops open and sort of holds the open package towards you.
I feel like everybody hides their Milano cookies. Yeah. I feel like you like have Milanos, they're hidden. Mine are hidden from myself, but...
She says, "Gotta be honest, Thacker, it's good to see you. It's less good to find out that you've been tied up in all this alien monster business, because have you seen what they have done to our forest?" And she gestures towards the map.
"Yes, I have. I have, Juno, and it's sad. and it sucks. And I got a way that you can help make it better. How's that sound?
I mean, I can appreciate that, but we are the Monongahela National Forest Service. I don't think we outrank the FBI there. We're getting absolutely trampled on here, Thacker. They're just kind
of, how do you feel about that, you know?
I mean, it's bullshit. Like, I know this is a sort of unprecedented. There isn't necessarily an order of operations from the Monongahela National Forest Service to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, but I'm pretty sure that it's not supposed to work like this. And she gestures to the map and she says, they don't have jurisdiction. They can't just come in and, you know, fuck up the forest whenever they want to.
And what you should do something about that then, right?
What am I going to do? Again, it's the FBI. I work for the Forest Service. Is it?
I realize that. But here's what I want to know. Are you so locked into protocol? Are you so locked into the bureaucracy that your love of this forest is going to be dictated by a bunch of rules by a bunch of people sitting in Washington, D.C.?
This is probably where you are manipulating someone, unless I don't know what the searcher's like movesets are. I don't know if you have some special thing that allows you to, you know, try and compel somebody to have you.
He's got nothing.
He's got no charm. He's the anti.
He's got no charm. Most of his stuff is sensing stuff.
Okay. Go ahead and roll manipulate someone plus charm. If you are asking for her help in the plan and, you know, using her love of this forest and disdain for the bureaucracy that is sort of ruining it as the fulcrum for that.
Okay. Yeah,
God. Plus charm?
No charm. Zero charm for Arlo Thacker. That's a six.
That is a hard failure unless you want to use a luck point.
You do have all of your Thacker luck points back.
I guess
the luckiest guy on earth.
Oh, I do, don't I? I'll use a luck point.
Don't
then.
Use it if you don't want
to. I'm using it. I'm using that luck point. Don't try to stop me.
Okay. Right.
Oh, my.
That bumps it up to a 12. You see Juno sigh, and then she pounds on the map on the table, and then she does it again a second time and pulls her hand away and says, all right, fuck it. Yeah. Sorry for cussing. Yep. What is the plan? What's the plan? Are we going to like...
All right. Listen. This is the thing.
No bombs. Insurrection.
No.
Okay.
No. This is not a... You do not have to take a proactive move. I'm just saying. We're going to be trying to get past the FBI. We're trying to find out, you know, things like where is Agent Sturm and... And I really want to find Mama, but I don't know how high that is in the priority list. But we're going to be in and out of this forest. I only came to you because I'm trying to show you respect, and I'm trying to keep you in the loop. You don't got to do nothing except maybe if you see us skulking through the woods, you know, look another way.
Well, I mean,
And being ready in case things go south, which they probably will.
I mean, I can keep an eye out for you, but if you go skulking through the woods trying to get toward that compound, then their sensors are almost certainly going to find you first.
I bet a clever person like you could figure out a way around those sensors, though, right?
You know, Thacker, I think a clever person like me may be able to find a way around those sensors.
I thought so. You know, from that day we sat by the stream and looked at your sketchbook, I knew there was something special about you, Juno Devine.
That I'm going to help you do a federal crime. Aubrey, you make your way over to the sheriff's station, which was just kind of just off the path of destruction when the mountaintop fell, as you can see. And so you can see that sort of off in the distance as you approach. And you walk into the front door, and at the main desk there, you see Detective Megan walk out from the back room. And she says, hi, welcome to the Kepler Sheriff's. And she locks eyes with you. And I think the last time you saw her, you did magic with your hands and it made her black out. Uh-huh. And she says, how can I help you?
Hi. I'm looking for Sheriff Zeke, please.
Were you gonna burn him up? Or you gonna...
No. I need to talk to him. I need his help. And if I'm being honest, Detective, probably your help too. And if Dewey's around, is he around? I admittedly should have checked in on that a lot sooner than now.
Are you gonna Avada Kedavra me? Are you gonna take me right to Chicago with your spells?
No! You can stay right here. No one needs to go to Chicago.
I think Sheriff Owens opens the door into his office, and you see him poke his head out, and he looks at Detective Megan and just kind of sighs and looks at you and says, get the hell in here, Aubrey. And
okay.
Retreats inside. And you step into his office, and he shuts the door behind you and walks over to his desk. And it is it's a mess. It is full of paperwork that you assume is coming from sort of the federal level that he maybe doesn't know how to deal with. And he looks up at you from just this pile of red tape, and he says, not to like lay it on, but y'all know this is your fault, right? You tell me about this way sooner, we could have dealt with it ourselves instead of losing half our town to the fucking powers that be.
Listen, there's a part of me that wants to just sit here and say, yes, you're right. But I will say, that's some Monday morning quarterbacking. It's easy to say that now. But if things had gone really well before and you all hadn't known about it, you'd be sleeping a lot better at night. You all wouldn't have so much to worry about, and it would have been fine. So, yes, things have come to a head, and maybe it would have been different if we included you sooner. But that wasn't really up to me at that point. And we're including you now, which seems like we're taking a step forward.
Oh, you're including me now.
Yes.
Awesome. Oh, great. Cool. Yeah. Cool. So what is it? What's the big plan? You gonna strap on proton packs and go get them?
Well, I don't care for the tone, Sheriff.
It's just, I don't know what kind of fucking harebrained scheme you and the rest of them Cryptonomica folks are whipping up, but like, if you
we're
think
we're amnesty
that,
folks, please don't brand us as Cryptonomica folks. That makes it sound like weird. Amnesty, that's nice. That's a nice word.
I appreciate you thinking of me, Aubrey. Oh, gosh, I do. But just banish the thought of me being able to do anything to help out. I'm not going to make an enemy of the fucking FBI. That's nonsense.
You wanted us to let you in on it sooner, right? You wanted us to tell you what's up, right? And we didn't. And you're pissed.
Yes.
I get
yes.
that. Okay, cool. Here's your chance. If we don't do something tonight, our world is going to end. So I guess the question you need to ask yourself is, what's worse, making an enemy of the FBI or everything suddenly being nothing?
I mean, neither sounds great, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, but I didn't really ask that, did I, Sheriff? Which one sounds worse?
You hear a voice come from the supply closet adjacent, and it says, I think the world ending sounds worst.
Did you put Dewey in the closet?
I didn't put Dewey damn nowhere. That's where he likes to hang out. And Dewey just phases through the door and he's like,
nobody puts Dewey in the closet.
Dewey phases through the door and he says, I do like it in there. It's darker. Helps me think my thoughts.
That's nice. Hey, Dewey, do you want to help us?
Yeah, I guess. You're the one that's you're sort of my spectral mom, if you think about it. So I think I am. I do owe you a sort of life debt. So, and the sheriff says, Dewey, this is weird, man. I'm telling you, you don't want to team up with them. They are harbingers of death, the whole lot of them. Listen, I got family, and I got my son to think about. I can't just throw away my life running afoul of the federal government because some magician came into my office and told me that the wizard. Apocalypse is about a what?
Wizard. I can do real. I guess both. I mean, both are accurate at this point, I guess. Here's the thing. Let's not get hung up on that. You mentioned your son, right?
Yep.
there's lots of lives at stake here, Sheriff. Lots of people's sons, lots of people's daughters, lots of people's children, lots of people, everyone on this world and the next, literally, are in trouble. And we got a town full of folks who are the only ones who can do anything to save the world. I wish this wasn't the case. Listen, I have a lot of fun going on these adventures and fighting monsters and doing magic and stuff, but I lost one of my best friends 2 months ago. I know how scary and permanent this shit can be, and I know how much easier it would be if we could all just keep our heads down and not piss people off and make the easy decisions. And but that's not what it's like. When you have the responsibility of protecting people, you don't get to make easy decisions. You don't get to keep your head down. You don't get safety. And I think you understand that more than most people in this town.
I think that is as strong a case as you're going to be able to give. I think manipulate someone, roll plus charm.
That is a 7 plus 1, an 8.
They'll do something if you do something for them right now to show that you mean it. He says, how many other folks have you got on board with this harebrained scheme there, Aubrey?
Well, and you might not like this, admittedly, but the Hornets are going to help.
Cool, great. This is getting better and better.
Yeah, I figured. We got a big, powerful alien woman. Leo runs the general store. He's actually a chosen warrior. He's going to help. Dr. Drake, the scientist from the telescope, she's okay, actually a chosen warrior. So she's okay, going to help.
Cool. You got a whole sort of...
Barclay's Bigfoot. He's going to help.
Barclay's fucking what?
He's Bigfoot. Jake is a seal. He's going
to
help.
Hold up. You don't have to list them all out. It was just... I wanted to make sure you had the muscle.
Mothman's going to help.
Oh, you're melting my fucking brain. Just give me a second to say what I'm going to say, Aubrey.
The guy who looks like that movie star, he's going to help. He's really a Billy Goat in real life.
Everyone in town knew that one. That one everyone knew.
Yeah, that one. That one everyone got.
Although I do like the fiction that maybe Kepler, the citizens of Kepler accepted that J.D. Salinger, he had just moved to their town, right? And he's just like living there. But if you try, he loves his privacy because he's happy to be out of the limelight. So if you talk to him, all he'll do is sheep noises.
Have we all forgotten his name?
Billy?
No, the actor.
No, the actor.
I cannot conjure his name.
Travis forgot it and it made me forget it.
Ryan Gosling?
Thank you, Jesus.
That was weird, Trav. Your forgetting it made me forget it.
I pulled it out of your brain. I destroyed it.
I'll make you a deal. I'll help you out. I'll do whatever you want. I ain't going to go to war with the FBI, but whatever else y'all need, I can lend a hand, but you're going to leave... You got to leave Calvin out of it. You got to make sure that he... Stay safe. If things really do break bad in Kepler tonight, I'm not gonna risk my son's life, you know, going to bat for y'all. I hope y'all can at least understand that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I totally get that.
Well, all right. What is my involvement gonna look like, and how many laws am I gonna have to break in order to do it?
You know, I'd rather think of it as just breaking one big law. That's going to help me feel better about the whole thing. But yeah, I'll run you through what we're doing. I think probably we're going to need you leading the kind of ground forces here to make sure everybody's ready to stop this big evil thing that's coming through. I'll tell you all about it. Also, and this is just a side note, you don't have any way to, get a message to Agent Stern, do you?
The FBI dude?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just let him know that shit might go down, but in a really vague way that doesn't make it so that they come for us ahead of time. Even as I'm saying it, I know it's a big ask.
It is poppycock. Aubrey, I only met the dude once, and we didn't exchange numbers or nothing like that. I don't know how much sway you think I have. up with the FBI, but I can assure you the answer is basically none.
Okay. Your help with the people on the ground, and you know, just being there as a calming, well-trained presence, I think will help a lot. Yeah? Great. Dewey, you're in too, right?
Hell yeah, man. What are we going to be doing?
Well, you know, I was just thinking, man, you know what's really distracting and also doesn't have to worry about gunfire? A ghost.
Yeah, man. It can't kill me twice, I think.
Yep.
I'm trapped on this mortal plane walking as a specter for the rest of time.
Well, that makes me feel bad, but...
It's like they say, kill me once, shame on you. Kill me twice, don't make sense.
Duck. I don't know where this scene takes place, Duck. Duckalus.
It's at their living room.
Okay. Where is their living room? I think that, I mean...
In their house?
Yeah, their house would almost certainly be on topside. Like, we can fudge it. Maybe they're just in a really nice part of Riverside.
Maybe it's at his, like, office.
Okay, where does...
On the other side of City Hall, near Daryl's Bait and CrossFit.
Wow, that's a busy block, huh?
Well, yeah,
it's City Center. We only have the six of them. How about it's across from St. Francis? How's that? Is that better?
Yeah, sure. That's the hospital. Okay.
Yeah, he works in, like, hospital administration. Doesn't that feel right?
Ooh, okay, I like that.
Yeah, that feels right. So his office is across the street in his administrative building.
Okay.
So I asked him and Muffy to come down to the office.
All right, adding this to the map. You arrive at this building that didn't exist 15 seconds ago, and it looks like...
yes, it did. It looks like it always existed. It was just beneath the stone. We had to deploy the stone.
It looks like a building. No, this is just like a... there's probably a sky bridge connecting the main hospital and the administrative building, and reception shows you up. And I think that the office building is mostly empty at this point. There are probably a lot of commuters into Kepler who are just not allowed in town. But you know what, Muffy and Winthrop, they are they're staples of the community, and you find them in Winthrop's big corner office, and. They just look at you judgmentally as you enter.
Yeah, never mind. Nope. I can't do it. I'm out. Sorry to waste your time. Bye. I'm leaving. Bye.
Okay. If that's, I guess that's more time than me and Muffy can spend playing them.
Listen to yourself how you sound. God.
What's wrong with how we sound? We were just talking about playing Mancala.
All right. You know what? I'm going to give myself fucking 60 seconds, and I'm just going to say this. I'm going to get the fuck out of Team Rocket HQ. God. Ugh. All right. So here's the deal. I know about the hunting club.
They look at each other nervously as I look at you, Justin, nervously.
I know about the hunting club. I know that you and all your rich friends... are out there in the forest with illicitly hunting protected species. I know about it. My boss said that, you know this guy, he knows this guy, you know that guy, whatever, on and on and on and on. And I couldn't go after it, but I know about the hunting club. And you know what? There's no one left to tell me that I can't go after it. Let's establish that. All right. I know. But here's the good news. I'm willing to turn a blind eye, and only because if this doesn't work, there's not going to be any animals to worry about anyway, so what the fuck do I care? I'm willing to turn a blind eye, and in exchange, I'm offering you and all your garbage friends a chance at the greatest hunt of all.
Man.
No, actually, for a long time they thought it was man, and but it turns out it's fucking angry demons from a hell planet. That's kind of the number one. We're cool as hell to hunt. We're a very strong, very compelling number two. But no, it is demons. I want you and all your the trash people that you associate with to get your guns and your whatever fucking mink stoles or whatever you dullards wear and come on out and shoot some fucking demons with us. So we might have a solitary shot of making it through the night.
Man, I think manipulate someone. Unless you, what was the thing you kept? Oh, the thing you kept was escape plan.
Yeah, no, it's escape. Yeah, I'm going to
This is manipulate someone for sure. Plus charm.
Yeah.
Please roll good. God, I want this to work so badly.
Ha ha!
That's a 9.
That's a 9. Charm. Plus charm. 10.
That's a 10. That's a complete success. Okay.
Man, all those people who loved Muffy and Winthrop before this moment just found out they were poachers.
Yeah, it's not great. Winthrop.
Oh no, all my Muffy and Winthrop cosplay.
Yeah. Muffy says, "Oh dear Muffy, it sounds like it could be a real treat hunting demons from the other realm." And Winthrop says, "Oh, I've always treat you make a hard case, Duck Newton. And you're willing to turn the other way, turn the other cheek?" That's not what that means, but
yeah, I guess. Yeah.
You've convinced me. It sounds like a real hoot. And Winthrop gets a key out of his pocket and opens up a drawer in his desk, and you see him pull out and slip on a signet ring that he walks over to a picture of him and Muffy on a speedboat hanging on the wall and moves it out of the way and enters the signet ring into a hole, which he turns, and then a panel rotates out, revealing a black phone, which Winthrop picks up and presses a single button on, and then you hear him speaking in Latin for several minutes, and then he pulls his ear away from the receiver, and he mouths, "What time? What time are we?"
It's going to kick off at 9:30.
Okay. And we...
But if they could get there a few minutes early, it would be... there's really no need to wait to the last minute.
We'll say 9:15, and that way they'll actually be there at 9:30.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Ipsis epcum scilum. I don't know Latin.
No, that was it.
That's it. That's all the Latin there is.
And Muffy stands up and reaches into her big, big purse and pulls out another signet ring and hands it to you. And she says, just in case you decide that tonight is fun and you decide it seems like you can maybe keep a secret. And she raises her eyebrows. Would you like to join the Shadow Brethren or?
Jesus Christ. Goodbye. I'm walking out the door. Oh, fuck. All hail Muffy and Winthrop. The last great hope for planet Earth.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hey, I'm Janet Varney. And like many of you, some more recent than others, I used to be a teenager. In fact, just about all of my friends were too, including wonderful women like Allison Brie.
I'm dead center on the balance beam. And this is like a big gym. All the kids' parents are there watching. I have to stop, like, you know, when you have to pee so bad and you can't even move. And then I just go. I just pee right in the middle of the high balance beam.
So join me every week on the JV Club podcast, where I speak with complicated, funny, messy humans as we reminisce about our adolescences and how they led us to becoming who we are. Find it every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Listen, we already know that you love genre movies, film craft, and female filmmakers. So, if you love all those things, then by transitive property, you love my podcast, Switchblade Sisters. Hi, I'm film critic April Wolf. Every week, I have a conversation with a different female filmmaker about their favorite genre film. Each episode covers the filmmaking process, working in the film industry, and just, like, general geeking out about awesome movies. I've had such great guests like the Big Sick writer Emily Gordon.
To me, indie movies as of late have come to be a catch-all term for a movie that kind of
defy genre?
Billy Madison and Half-Baked director Tamara Davis.
When a comedian comes and enters onto my set, they're just there to be funny, and we're all ready and waiting for them to be funny.
Horror industry veteran and actor Barbara Crampton.
That's where real drama lies for me. What's between you and I speaking right now? Where are we meeting? And what's the energy that we create between us?
And so many others. So check out Switchblade Sisters every Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.